Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Okay, folks. Well, welcome back to Creative Consciousness Radio Show. We're just getting a message here from our guest today. And just to give you a little brief introduction about our guest, his name is Don Dennis. Now, we became acquainted with Don through one of our other beloveds, Catherine Kerrigan, and she really professes in her work and in her healing sessions and in her healing office the use of orchids because they really do bring forth a high resonant kind of energy. And so she recommended that we speak with Don Dennis, who, from what I understand, is currently in Scotland, but did migrate from California to the United Kingdom and began to pursue his interest. He became married and got involved in Bach flower essences, and then later began to get into distribution, and also primarily now, from what I understand, is that he is also really just focusing most of his attention right now on orchids. And so we're doing, we're trying to get our guest Don on right now. He's having a little difficulty signing on. So just bear with us, folks. I'm going to have to take another short break, and we'll see if we'll bring him on with us. We are going to play some music right now from Jim Wafer, and Jim is a bell drum maker in New Zealand, and he just really, his bell drums are tuned to 432 hertz, and what that means is that that is kind of like the natural rhythm of the body. When the body is attuned to 432 hertz, it's a natural flow, and so his music really does bring forth the resonance of the whole body-mind spiritual connection. So we're just going to play some music here and see if we can get our guest on, okay? Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Okay, folks. We are so blessed to be with you today. And welcome to everyone on planet Earth. We have been so gifted here to get this show, you know, moving along. We have now connected with our blessed guest, Don Dennis. Now, from what I understand, as I was just talking earlier, that Don native to America and then migrated over to the UK. And from what I understand, he is now in Scotland, and his whole focus of his pathway has been with working with flowers and the plant kingdom. And his main focus these days is primarily his love of orchids. And so with that, I'd like to introduce you to Don Dennis. And, you know, I'd like to welcome you to the show, Don. Welcome aboard here.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me clearly?
Oh, absolutely. You're coming in loud and clear. And you know, perhaps you can just tell us a little bit about, you know, your own journey and, you know, share with us a little bit about how you've gotten involved with, you know, working with plants and what you find that your experience has been.
I have to say, I never heard about batch flower remedies back when I was growing up in California. I first came over to the UK when I was 19, 3 years ago now. And in the first month after I arrived in England, somebody told me about the batch flower remedy. I should just point out there, the proper pronunciation is batch flower remedies, because old Dr. Batch, although he was a Welshman and would have pronounced it Bach, he found that his fellow medical students in London couldn't pronounce his name properly. So he simply, from the rest of his life, from his medical student days onwards, told people to call him Batch. And so properly referred to as Batch Flower Remedies. So I was shown the Batch Flower Remedies. I was intrigued by them, but I couldn't understand them for the life of me. The literature that accompanied them was something I found very confusing at 19 to 20 years old. And so they remained a kind of back burner kind of interest for me. I talked with friends about them from time to time. Some of my friends knew them very well. I just didn't get them. As an item, they didn't make sense to me. And it was many years went by before finally I got them. I think that my holdup was that the original batch literature was kind of couched in pseudo-medical, late Victorian terminology that I found difficult to get past. So, for example, I remember reading about the oak flower essence, and there was an oak type of person, and I didn't know if I was an oak type or not, but did that mean that I could or could not benefit from taking the essence? And questions like that just perplexed me. My interest in the flower essences stayed a kind of background simmering interest for the first two decades after I encountered them. And then what happened was that I went to a conference at Findhorn in Scotland about 20 years ago now. And there they have a community bookshop, and at the back of the bookshop they had an apothecary. And there I saw flower essences that were being made in Australia and California and elsewhere in Alaska. And that hit me big time. I was blown away by it. And I immediately just knew I had to find out more about these things and what was going on with them. And that's really where my present activity started.
Well, it sounds like an incredible journey. And, do you find, do you consider this to be like a calling for you? Because it sounds like you say it was with you, this desire, this interest for almost two decades before, you became really very interested and began to, resonate with this. Do you feel that it was some sense of calling?
Yes. Now, there's an interesting thing here. From an astrological standpoint, you really don't fully become yourself, or at least one way of looking at it is that you don't really become who you are until you've gone past your Uranian quarter at approximately 37 years old. That's when Uranus has done a quarter of a turn through in your lifetime, and you get this Uranian wake-up. And so a lot of people find that in their late 30s, something big unfolds in their life. And that's when I encountered these new flower essences. And I'd say that it feels to me like everything that I did in my life prior to my work with the flower essences was mere preparation.
Yes. Yeah, I can understand that. And so now, can you talk a little bit about the flower essence, Bach? What type of properties do they carry, and how are they actually useful to humanity? How does that work with individual use?
Okay, so let me give a little context here. The way that flower essence as a whole work is that we have our own bioelectric system. The Chinese acupuncture talks about the meridians, the qi, and so on. Plants have qi just like we do. And if you go back far enough, about 3.5 billion years, we have a common ancestor. Are we still there?
Yes,
computer
we're here.
Makes fun. Okay. plants and animals all have a common single-celled ancestor about 3.5 billion years ago. And so that being the case, we actually have the same bioelectric fundamentals. Our wattage in our at a cellular level is the same as for a plant. And a flower essence, when it's well made, contains something of the bioelectric charge of the bloom of the flower. It hopefully does not contain much of the bioelectric charge of the human maker. That's a big topic. It's what we call contamination. And our process is designed here to ensure that we get the maximum bioelectric quality, bioelectric charge, maximum chi from the orchid into the water with a minimal sort of environmental contamination from me as the maker getting into the water. Now, water is the medium which the chi goes into the water. Water is very receptive. Water is also, though, very unretentive. It lets things go. So if you just used water and nothing else in making a flower essence, you'd have to use it immediately because the water lets go of the chi very, very quickly. Old Dr. Batch, one of his great insights was to realize that you could use alcohol to hold that chi in the liquid. It acts like a kind of energy anchor. You can use brandy or cognac or vodka. It doesn't really matter. But the key point here is that nobody in decades of research, nobody has ever found a better energy anchor than alcohol. So if you want to avoid alcohol, you want to take flower essences, it's difficult. Okay. You can avoid them by using them topically. You know, you can perfectly well put the drops of a flower essence on your skin, and the chi gets absorbed through the skin within 15 seconds. So you don't have to drink. You don't have to imbibe the drops of flower essence if you wish to avoid alcohol. But alcohol is every decent flower essence that I know of, purely to hold the energy there, as well as obviously to keep the liquid clear, clean of bacterial growths and so on over the years of sitting on a shelf. Now, Dr. Batch, to a large degree, is responsible for bringing back flower essences into existence in the modern world, although we are aware of other folk traditions throughout Europe where they were made prior to Dr. Batch. He's the one that brought them into a kind of commercial reality. And that insight of adding alcohol to preserve them was a major contribution to them being available. You know, we need to be able to make a flower today that somebody a year from now can benefit from in Australia or in California or in Taiwan. Now, Dr. Batch's work then inspired another generation, starting generally in the 1960s and also then in the 70s and early 80s, inspired people that make the Australian bush flower essences. He inspired Steve Johnson, who makes the Alaskan essences, inspired Kaczynski, who make the flower essences in California, FES, and so on. There's about seven or eight major, what I would call, second-generation flower essence makers in the world. And then there are those of us that were inspired by that second generation. So I regard our orchid essences as a third generation of flower essences. So we looked at what the bush essences were doing or what FES were doing and found that really exciting and then found, okay, we can take it a step further. And it was a lady, the woman who co-founded the Alaskan flower essence business. Her name is Shabad Sangeet Khalsa, known as SSK to her friends. She is the person that got me interested in orchids. And she was she made flower essences in the Alaskan wilderness for about 18 years before then going back down to California, where she's originally from, started an orchid business with a boyfriend. And as soon as they had a greenhouse filled with orchids, SSK, who is highly clairaudient, probably the most fully clairaudient person I've ever met, immediately began hearing the orchids calling out to her, saying, make essences with us, make essences with us. And she said, piss off. She didn't want to do it. She basically said, look, I did that before and I know what it means. It means boxes, it means labels, it means bottles, it means packaging. Oh my God, I don't want to do that again. But the orchids were really insistent. She also was resisting the idea because she'd always made flower essences with flowers growing in the wild up in Alaska. And how could it be justified to make flower essences with orchids growing in this artificial environment of a greenhouse? And yet the orchids were insistent. And she began making some of the essences, some essences with them. And she eventually created a line called the Dancing Light Orchid Essences. And we became her UK importer. And when I first tried her essences about 19 years ago, I was absolutely blown away. I'd never encountered a flower essence that had the impact that hers had. I was used to taking a flower essence and maybe after a few days of taking it twice daily, I might notice that it's gently steering my psyche in a different direction. With SSK's orchid essences, I'd take them and 30 seconds later, I might be in tears or feeling very different or so on. Major shifts happened very quickly. SSK told me that it took her a while to understand something. She said it wasn't that this is an artificial environment, that it's a big negative. She came to understand that the orchids are actually extraordinarily highly evolved beings. I mean, if you want to look for the Buddhas of the flower kingdom, go to the orchids. There are some Buddhas in the orchid kingdom. We found them, some of them. And she realized that the orchids that come into the commercial orchid network of greenhouses around the world, they're there as volunteers, and they are positively wanting to work with us. So by contrast, she would have trundled through the tundra in Alaska, and after 3 or 4 hours of hiking, she'd have come upon a delicate little orchid growing in the tundra, and they cut the flower and put it into the bowl of water and leave it sitting for a few hours and then put the orchid out and walk away with the brandy added to the water and never see that orchid again. Whereas the orchids in the greenhouse, you get to know them. They're like, become old friends with you. And
wow,
they are there wanting to interact with us. And I think this is why flower essences made with orchids that are grown in a greenhouse end up having such a high level of potency. Now, how do they get used by the individual? For all manner of different things. Certainly any number of levels of psychological trauma. They are fabulous for healing trauma. They're also, the orchids have the ability to heal past life trauma. And I've seen this over and over again in the seminars that I teach. It can be dramatic, it can be subtle, but again and again, the potency of them is for people to experience. Should I explain
wow.
a little bit about that?
Yes, please. Yes, go ahead. This is so interesting.
Okay. All flower essences work on the chakras. They work on the chakras that we all know about, the in-the-body ones, from the root chakra up to the crown chakra, right? So plenty of flower essences that'll work on the heart chakra, and that's great. But the thing that kind of sets orchids apart is that they have the ability to not only have really powerful impact on the in-the-body chakras, but they also have an action on the chakras that are above our body, okay? Now, the first of these above-the-body chakras, according to a good clairvoyant friend, is the crown chakra. It's actually a couple of inches above the top of your head, properly speaking. So the crown chakra introduces us to the structure of the higher chakras. Now, I had a lady who, a naturopath from California, that came to my seminar about 4 years ago. And on the third day of our week-long seminar, she said, I don't believe in these higher chakras. And I said, well, don't worry, that's not a problem. You don't have to believe in these higher chakras. Just consider it like poetry. But the very next essence that we meditated upon in the seminar is one called Pushing Back the Night, which was made with a primary hybrid that's called Bulbophyllum Elizabeth Ann Buckleberry. It's an extraordinary orchid. It looks like a kind of elongated jellyfish, and it is a real showstopper. People walk into the greenhouse and see it. It's like, ah, amazing.
Wow.
And this one has a very strong impulse of alignment of the entire chakra system reaching very high up into the higher chakras. I mean, my understanding is it goes up into the 20s, which is pretty exceptional for our orchid essences. Usually the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, that's about as high as most of the ones that we've made go. This one goes up even higher. Well, as soon as we were sharing about our experiences of trying pushing back the night, you know, meditation on it, this woman who had previously said, I don't believe in these higher chakras, now said, I guess I have to say I believe in the higher chakras, because she had no other way of describing her meditational experience, which was this very clear vertical orientation, moving her the focus of her consciousness about 2 to 3 feet above the top of her head. Okay?
Yes.
Now, when we think about the consciousness of humanity, when you get into these higher chakra levels, like to the 12th and 13th chakra, you're at a level there where you're in touch with the rest of humanity in an instant. It's kind of like our spiritual internet. And you know that scene from Star Wars where Obi-Wan Kenobi suddenly says that he felt a shudder in the Force, as if a million people all cried out. Well, that's a higher chakra description. There are moments when we can connect in a kind of instantaneous way with a vast swath of humanity through the higher chakra system. We have a combination essence called positive flow, which is our abundance essence. And it works so immediately and very clearly again and again and again. I mean, we have shopkeepers who say, well, I took it and my God, in the next 2 weeks, starting within 20 minutes of my taking the drop, suddenly people were flooding into my shop, or they were calling up and placing orders and so on. And we get this again and again with either the drops or the spray. And I think that the way that this works is because pushing back the night is one of the components of positive flow. The other is one called positive outcome, which is about having a positive frame of mind. What this combination does is energetically, it's like it sends this positive flare of energy up through your higher chakras, and kind of like seeing fireworks in the distance. People around you who have some connection with you suddenly are aware of this positive energy coming from your direction. And so they say, I feel like calling Susie and placing an order, or I think I'll go to Susie's shop. I think it must be something like that, because from Japan to California to the UK and Germany, we have many, many people telling us wonderful stories of using positive flow, which isn't a remedy. It's an enhancer, if you see what I mean. It's not remedying anything other than lack of activity. See?
Wow, this is just incredible information. And I, you know, as you're talking, just in the essence of our conversation, just talking about orchids, I find myself being really elevated. You know, and there seems to be some type of transcendental type of experience, you know, that I'm experiencing just in the essence of the conversation. So
you're tuning in to the orchids. And I guess I'm so connected with them that listening to me, you're then able to pick up on something of what these guys are about. And some of them, frankly, are, let's say, have mundane levels. I mean, we have one called internal cleansing. It's a big, big blossom, and it stinks. Frankly, you know, it stinks like shit. And guess what? This is an orchid essence that helps your large intestine to be healthier. It has a higher level of activity, but it also has this very physical, down-to-earth level of helpfulness. So some of them are have this mundane level of activity, but there's this one called, well, we call the essence crown of consciousness. The orchid is Masdevallia regina. It's a native species of Peru. And it's, well,
yes.
It's a native of Peru. Perhaps the most awesome orchid that I've ever encountered. In the first 9 years of the essence making, I worked very closely with a essence making partner, Heather. Heather DeCam, lovely, lovely woman. She makes me believe that occasionally angels incarnate. Heather is one of those people that is able to see her guide. And her guide appears to her as a Tibetan monk. And when we made the essence crown of consciousness, she told me after we'd set up the bowl and then after we'd left the room that very, very unusually, her Tibetan monk guide came and we were standing about 12 to 15 feet away from the table with the orchid and bowl of water. And we were just standing shoulder to shoulder for a minute, taking in the beauty of the scene in the room. Her guide apparently pushed his way between us and then bowed down and remained bowing on the floor, bowing to the orchid. Until we left the room, he was still there bowing. And when we went in the next day to finish off essence again, he did the same thing, and so we did too. When I sent that essence to our clairvoyant friend, Peter Tad, who would do readings of the orchid essences, it was about 3 months before he finally was able to get around to it, and I called him on the phone. He was in Italy at the time, a fellow I'd known for about 20 years at that point. And I said, Peter, what's the problem? Why is it taking you so long to get around to reading this orchid essence? I'd sent him a sample bottle and I'd sent him by email photos of the orchid. And he said, Donna, I've been intimidated. I said, intimidated? Peter, it's an orchid. He said, no, you have to understand. This is like being asked to do a reading of the Dalai Lama.
Wow.
That when you are in the presence of this orchid, you're in the presence of the voice of God.
Well, I don't know about you or any of our listeners. I'm just ready to go out and buy all these orchids. I'm already feeling the frequency of this energy, and it is absolutely so beautiful what you're conveying to us. And the essence of being, you know, standing in front of an orchid that is presenting itself in the energy of the Dalai Lama is just tremendous.
Yeah.
Wow, what a beautiful work you have here, Don. Now,
well,
do you actually have a
thing.
I mean, you farm, do you grow these orchids, you know, there with you?
We have a 27-foot greenhouse. That's about 11 foot wide, and it has two sections, a warm section and a cool section. Crown of consciousness grows in the cool section. It wants to believe that it's in the cloud forests of South America, up in the mountains. We have about 600 or 700 orchids.
Oh my goodness.
Almost a ridiculous level of variety amongst them, insofar as, you know, no small orchid grower should have as many different genera as I do, but I often find myself reflecting on why aren't more people doing what I'm doing? Because at this present moment, and for the last probably 15 years, I guess, ours has been the only company in the world, and it's a very, very small company, the only company in the world actually making flower essences with orchids that grow in a greenhouse. SSK split up with her boyfriend, and so she ended up no longer connected with that greenhouse that had the orchids. So she still sells her orchid essences, the Dancing Light ones. But by and large, she's one with the mother tinctures that were made more than 16 years ago. And I've been actively making orchid essences now for the last 17 years. And in that time, I've learned so much. I'm planning on writing a book. If I can do it within the coming year, I will, a book in addition to the first one that I wrote about our orchid essence work in general. The second book is going to be about making orchid essences, because I don't want people out there to have to reinvent the wheel. There's so much specific and very useful information that I and my colleagues have come upon over these 17 years that I want to be sure to share it, because my goal is that the next time I am born, I want orchid essences to be, if not commonly available, at least available, and
yes,
preferably readily available. I'd love it to see that 50 to 100 years from now, there's a dozen different companies making flower essences with orchids greenhouse.
And, you know, as I'm listening to you, I'm really reflecting on the whole of humanity. And, you know, what I'm hearing, you know, and we all know the state of, you know, affairs, you know, and where, you know, our consciousness is at globally. And when I hear this communication that you're working with the orchids, and others are working with, you know, ascending into higher vibrations, it's almost, you know, conveying to me a message that, you know, each of us can, you know, first resonate with the earth and what the earth brings forth, you know, in the plant kingdom. And then through that, we actually may be able to bridge the gap, you know, with each other.
So that's
one of the things I'm hearing very loud and clear through what you're sharing here today.
Because they
carry some sense of intelligence, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Of consciousness, of totality.
Big time. I mean, these are very highly evolved beings.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a grave mistake to think that the only really evolved beings are human beings. The orchids have extraordinary levels of highly evolved intelligence. I don't know what their perspective on human beings is, but they sure as hell want to work with us. They realize that we need the help.
Yeah.
And we have a wonderful essence that's called walking to the earth's rhythm. So directly speaking to what you're talking about there. But you've also brought to mind, we sell a lot of our essences to a big pharmacy in Geneva. It could well be the most wonderful pharmacy in the world, started by an extraordinary woman born in Geneva. And she's been running this now for about 30 years, and her vision right from the beginning was that it would be a pharmacy not only of the normal medications, but also herbal products, homeopathic products, flower essences. And ours is the major flower essence line that they choose to carry. The manager of the pharmacy is a highly intelligent and highly intuitive woman from Iran originally, but obviously an expat Iranian, who spent several years in California too. And my guidance is that this Iranian manager at Geneva Pharmacy is likely to help get our orchid essences into Iran via her family back there. And I think that's a very, very interesting prospect, because if ever there's a country that needs the difference of perspective that the orchids could provide by opening people up to the higher chakras, as well as just the nature of compassion that the orchids are able to convey, then it could bring about in time huge shifts in the political landscape of Iran. And then I was thinking about ISIS and this whole terrible state of affairs in the Middle East the other day. And, of course, in a sense, one thing it ends up boiling down to is a very pervasive lack of compassion.
Yeah.
These beheadings and this savagery that's being embraced by those folk. And so I was thinking, because I'm preparing myself to give a talk to high school that I went to in California years back. I've been invited to address the school because they like the fact that I've had such an unusual path. And so this is one of the things I've been reflecting on, and I was thinking that if you could only provide one essence to the Middle East from our range, it would be the one that we have called wisdom of compassion. It's not as if it would be a panacea to change everything overnight, but maybe it would give hope for 10 years down the line. You have to work at this deeper level to bring about the wider changes in society. And so from that perspective, I see the orchid essences as not just helping us individually and personally, but also they are, in a sense, political creatures. They want to be concerned with the whole of humanity, how we relate to one another.
So, Don, how, you know, are you open to the public, or are you do you act as a distributor? How can people learn more about the work that you're doing? Do you have a website?
Oh, we have a website, which is healingorchids.com.
Okay. And do you ship it all from your location there?
Yeah. And we have a very good distributor in the United States, a company called Southern Herb Company that are based in North Carolina. And their website is southernherb.com. You get the best information about our essences, though, by looking at our website. But it's much easier to buy them if you're in the U.S. to get them from Southern Herb's website. And they also give professional therapists a 35% discount, which is good. But you have to go through a registration process with them by calling them first and so on. Southern Herb have been representing us for the last 9 years, and they're good folk. And they cater to the complementary therapist. On our website, we have lots of photos of the orchids. If you look on our single essences page, click on any one of the more photos page for any one of the individual orchid essences, and you'll go to a page that'll show you more photos of the orchids. And with almost all the photos of the orchids, if you click on them, they will enlarge and be 8 or 9 inches wide or bigger. So you can really tune into the orchid visually. I had to chuckle a little bit as to whether we're open to the public. We are, but we're based on a little island in the Inner Hebrides on the west coast of Scotland. So we're difficult to get to.
Well, I was just wondering if whether or not you shipped. I think that's just phenomenal. It must be absolutely gorgeous in Scotland.
We even got essences going into mainland China now.
Oh, but that's so perfect.
I just had 10 people here for 11 nights in May, folk from Taiwan, who were here for a seminar with me. I've taught about 40 seminars here on the Isle of Gia, where we're based, over the last 10 years. And I've had groups from Japan and Taiwan and elsewhere. At the moment, my teaching schedule is a little up in the air because my wife and I want to relocate to a spot 2 miles north on the island. She's a dairy farmer here, and we want to build new premises up by her dairy farm. It's an interesting mix, orchid essence maker and native dairy farmer, but it works. So I'm also making ice with her.
We have about 10 minutes left to the show, right, Don.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'd like to ask you is, you know, given all of your experience and, you know, working with these high vibrational living beings, what type of message do you have for humanity?
I personally don't have much. The message is really in the orchids. The orchids want to help us to heal our trauma. And the perspective that I get from them is that our spiritual journey is hindered by us sitting in our trauma. And that trauma is not just this lifetime, also the pain left over from past life. And they basically want to say, you can get back to your original blueprint. You don't have to wallow in pain or sink into the pain of trauma. And they don't require of us to go through a long and painful journey of healing. The healing that the orchids are able to take one through can be extraordinarily swift. I have had people leave after 5 days of seminar just glowing with the energy that they were experiencing. They also want us to move further and more swiftly along on our spiritual path. There's quite a few of them that are really focused on the spiritual journey. But there's a whole broad spectrum. And one of the things that we've done over these 17 years is to develop that palette of colors, that spectrum of energies that we work with. Our closest colleague outside of the Isle of Gia is a kinesiologist down in the outskirts of London, who's originally from Sri Lanka. His name is Dr. Adrian Brito Babapule, and he's an extraordinary homeopath and kinesiologist who's very, very intuitive. And he would come up here sometimes to walk into the greenhouse to find a new orchid that was calling out to him, because he knew that we needed a specific new energetic tool to help with the healing processes that he would encounter with people coming to him. And in his view now, the energy toolkit that the orchids present is complete. But there's about 100 individual orchids in the range, 100 individual orchid essences, and about 50 or 60 combinations, depending upon how you classify them. We have essences that will heal childhood sexual abuse. That's about as bad as it gets, short, you know, maybe on par with some experiences in war. And the very first essence that I made with an orchid, one called Unveiling Affection, in seminar, what I see is that I give that to the group, and maybe about 7 or 8% of the time, within 15 seconds of a person having those drops under the tongue, they burst into tears. Everybody else is just feeling a nice warm glow in their heart. But that person who bursts into tears within 15 seconds of having the drops of Unveiling Affection, every single time it turns out that they'd been a victim of sexual abuse in childhood. Wow. Didn't matter if it was 20 years ago or 40 years ago, the tears came, because what the effects of that abuse was immediately shutting down the heart chakra at a very level. And if a child shuts that chakra down, it's very difficult for the adult to open it up. And yet here this orchid just comes along and melts that titanium armor off the heart chakra in a matter of 2 seconds. And suddenly their heart's open for the first time in 40 years, and hence the tears that flood out. You know, there's beautiful healing that happens with the orchids.
Well, it does sound tremendous. And we're listening to Don Dennis, and Don is an orchid grower in Scotland, and he's bringing his knowledge forward about flower essence today. We are so fortunate to have you here. I think it's remarkable work that you're doing, Don. And I know that I'm gravitating right to the orchid. Just listening, I'm already in the experience of the orchid just through the energy exchange here today. And yeah. I'm sure our listeners are also feeling this energetic empowerment that these orchids bring. I think it's fascinating, and I would encourage each of you that are listening to our show today to check out southernherbs.com. And Don, can you mention your particular website again?
Yeah, it's healingorchids.com. Orchid, of course, is O-R-C-H-I-D-S. So healingorchids.com. And on a practical level, we're happy to sell to people direct who are in America. There isn't a problem with that. But typically, if somebody orders a 4 or 6 essences, it'll take 2 weeks to reach them from us, whereas it can take 2 days to get from Southern Herb. Southern Herb's right. website, southernherb.com, singular, not plural. But sometimes we've had therapists who want to buy a full kit, and they typically come direct to us for that because they get the whole range of 160 essences, whereas Southern Herb at this point are carrying only a selection of 100 essences as their representative full kit. And that's easy enough. We use FedEx to send the full kit to people in the States.
And, you know, what I've understood about orchids, and I really have not, just to be honest, I've never owned or had an orchid plant in my home, nor have I ever used flower essences.
Right.
But I want to, like, what I've known or what I've heard is that they're really difficult to grow. They either work with you or they don't. Is that a myth, or is there any validity to that?
It's both true and not true. You have to understand there's 800 different genera of orchids. There's 25,000, 30,000 species of orchids. They're from all climate zones. And some you need to water once a week. Some you need to water every day. Some like it warm, some like it hot. there's a huge variety. The best company that I know of in America that I can recommend without any hesitation, if you want to try an orchid, would be a company called Orchids Limited in Minnesota. A fellow named Jerry Fisher that runs it, and he's a really superb commercial orchid grower. Their website is orchidweb.com. And I can certainly recommend a Phragmophidium. If you get a frag, it'll grow in any temperature that you are comfortable with, but you need to be able to water them every second day at least, okay? From a practical standpoint, some are better than others, but you learn. Everybody that grows orchids learns by killing orchids, unfortunately, but the orchids don't give up on us. They're very patient. in terms of the orchid essences, what you need to understand is that in the bottle of the liquid, in the water and cognac mix, the active ingredient is the consciousness from that orchid. And so when you imbibe a few drops of that orchid essence, you're actually literally imbibing something of the consciousness of an orchid or orchids in the case of a combination.
Yes.
One other practical thing. If you want to see the variety that we work with, we have a lovely deck of cards that are 3.5 inches wide by 5 inches tall. You know, your sort of normal new age tarot type deck.
Oh, wonderful.
There's 157 cards in the deck now. Amazon carry them in America. Southern Herb carry them. The ones that you get in America at the moment would probably be 135 cards in the deck, but you can get the expansion set from us. We published them originally a year and a half ago, then 6 months ago or so, we expanded with another 23 cards. It's like getting the whole kit of the orchids, but in miniature form and much, much, much cheaper than the full set of the essences, because the photos convey something of the energy. So you can flip through cards and pick up on the energies, the qualities of the orchids that way. It's called orchid cards. Very simple.
Sorry about interrupting you there. I just want to thank you, Don, for being with us today. It's been a remarkable show. One of the things that came to my consciousness while you were speaking was that in order, you know, one of the questions is why isn't the whole world encompassing orchids? And I think that because they are such a high vibrational plant, living organism, that they really draw that particular energy, and they resonate with that energy. So yeah. It's up to each of us. I think it's a calling that you're called to this vibration. And if you are called to it, obviously you will be blessed by, you know, the knowledge of the living organism of consciousness that exists within the essence of the orchid. That is a healing plant. I really love that. Yeah. Don, we'd love to have you on the show again. Please check out Don's website at healingorchids.com. You can also check out the healing essences through orchid. And
I should say they're called the Living Tree Orchid Essences. That's the name of the rain.
Okay, and Living Tree.
On the show, and I'd be delighted
right on.
To again.
Okay, well, that's our show today, folks. Thanks for hanging in with us, and I hope you enjoyed the talk today on orchids and working with living organisms of plants to further enhance your own consciousness and also to expand the consciousness of humanity. We'd love to have you back again, Don, at another time. And until then, we wish you much love and many blessings and a big hello to all of your orchids over there in Scotland.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, that's it for our show today. Y'all, we're going to leave the show off with a little music from Jim Wafer, a bell drum maker from New Zealand. And they're all tuned to 432 hertz. And so just sit back and have a great day today. You know, bring forth that message to humanity of love and tenderness and affection and, you know, reach out your hand, touch somebody, say hello, you know, make this world a better place to live. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.